Mixichas Haran, on page, in the orange ones, page Lamed, on top, in the Sicha Lamed Beis, the Be'emes, Amunhu Inyan Chazak Ma'ayd. I'll try to go quickly. Ube'emes, Amunhu Inyan Chazak Ma'ayd. People associate Amuna with weakness. That's how it is in the world. There was a Jew who went very, very badly off the Derech, and he called religion in general, belief in God, the opium of the masses. It's a very famous and horrible expression that he came up with. And the feeling that many people have is that religion bechlal, Amuna, is for weak people. Simchai. You'll often hear people that don't have faith saying, "Sure, it'd be very easy if I had something to somebody that I could always blame for all my problems, and somebody that I could always rely on." But the people that are maminim, you've taken that easy path, and you've created for yourselves a means of escaping the realities of life. The emes is that the moon itself is an unbelievably strong thing. It's an unbelievably powerful thing, and it's davke, not something that necessarily makes life easier and simpler, but it makes one's life, of course, more meaningful, and it makes a person stronger. But it's not coming from a place of weakness. And the Rebbe says, "Abemis amunahu inyan chazak ma'ayd." Amuna makes a person strong. It's not a weak person. Adarabba, the people who don't have amuna are weak people. Every single thing that comes their way, every little breeze that comes, throws them over. And every single minute of their lives, it's one exchange, one tmur and another tmur and then a hapechuv. Emuna huinyan chazak ma'ayd, v'chayiv chazakim ma'ayd ayde emuna. A person's life becomes very strong with emuna. Ki kishiyesh lo emuna, because when a person, the emes has emuna, and again, emuna is not something that's simple to achieve. He's not talking about to believe there's a God. Emuna, the emes. When a person has amuna, even if chalila, he has to go through different yisurim, he suffers. As a yuchal lenachim atzma, he's able to be mechazik himself. Ulahach yisus atzma, he's able to give himself life. Hashem zbarach yirachim alav, because he knows that Hashem zbarach every single thing that's happening to him. So Hashem Baruch is Yirachim Alav. Hashem Baruch, it's all because of Hashem's Rachmanis. And Hashem is Merachim on him, and will be Merachim. The Yetiv Achrisai, and that the Tachlis of everything in the end is all the Tovasai HaNitzchis. It's all for him. By Yisurim, Heim Loi L'Tovo U'L'Chapara, and every single moment of suffering that he's going through, the Ma'amin knows It's l'tayva, and it's b'kapara. U'besayv yetiv la'Hashem Yisbarach b'aylam hazeh, oy b'aylam haba. In the end, it will certainly be good. It might not be good in the way that he would like it to be in this world, but certainly, if not in this world, then it will certainly be clear to him in the next world. Avol mechaker, but the person that we were talking about last week, the Chacham, the Mechake, the person who lives in that world of trying to figure out everything himself, a world without Emunah. Of a Mechake, she'ein lo Emunah, who does not have Emunah, k'shebo alav eze tzar, when that person is confronted with some tzars, ein lo lemi lifnais, it's the hardest thing in the world, he has nobody to turn to. And he can't really be mechayi himself. He can't really give himself life. Ulanachem es atzmai, to comfort himself. V'amaskel yavin dvarim elu. So that makes the chayka the weakest person in the world. Because all of his chakiris and all of his chachmas at the end can't pull him out of dika'on, of depression or despair. Can't give him a chiz. Can't give him chizik. So the Maminim are the strongest people. That's what the Rabbi says. The Munah is inyan chazak ma'oid. Ramaska yovin dvarim elam ha'elav. And an intelligent person understands this on his own. Yovin dovim yitach dovim ki'i yevshal avar ha'kol b'ksav. This is not something the Rabbi says that can be explained completely in writing. The difference between a person who's a mammon and who's not a mammon. That anybody lo aleinu who experienced Yisurim or saw people who were going through Yisurim and saw the difference between somebody who's a mammon and somebody who's not a mammon. And it could be that before the Yisurim, the person that wasn't the mammon looked like the strongest, most put together person on earth. And nothing in the world could hurt him. And it looked like the person who was the mammon was like a pushover. But you see this, the Peshas Ma'isa, when a person, God forbid, goes through Yisurim, the person who was the person who doesn't have a muna, he doesn't have anything to hold on to, and God forbid the tsaros destroy him. But the person who's a mammon is mischazik in his emunah. And we understand this. Klal she'ikahu ha'munah b'li shum chakiris klal. And therefore the ikar is emunah without any chakiris. Emunah. U'b'zei yechazak la'olam. And when a person has emunah, u'b'zei yechazak la'olam. Bo'olam hazeh u'bo'olam haba. In this world, and the next world, ul'olam lo yimayit ashrei lo'in. Such a person with emunah will never fall. Ashrei lo, he's the most fortunate person. Lo'olam, when you go to a shiva and you meet people that are filled with emunah, and you see the schaskas that they have from emunah. You know, it's terrible. It says in the pasuk, "Toiv leches al beis ovel, mi leches al beis mishta." It's better to go to the house of an ovel. So the pasuk says, because we understand that's the seifa adam, that the tachlis, the end, and all that a person prepares for is leaving this world. But most of the time, I know that none of us ever look forward, God forbid, to go. We should never have to go to a shiva. But especially when I go to pay shiva call by, you know, these even from the sheres have played to Jews, not only from survivors but people from the last generation, and to hear, you know, from the children and the grandchildren the stories of what they went through to be Jews and how they and the greatness of these people and the people that we would call Pashut Yidden, right, simple Jews. There's nothing you could read about in the Sefer that would give more chizik than meeting these kind of people and hearing their stories. It's unbelievable, the chizik. When you hear, you go to Shiva and you hear, not just that, you even hear stories or line of people that have terrible sickness and how they were during the time of the sickness, how they conducted themselves, and you see. But you don't get that from chakiris. You can't get that from graduate school. You don't get that from a book. When a person goes through Yisurim, so he finds out whether he's a mammon or whether he's not a mammon. He finds out what kind of emunah he has. And when he's able to uncover that emunah within himself, then he finds that he's the strongest person in the world. There's nobody that's as strong in the entire world as a mammon. And there's nobody that's as weak in the world as somebody who doesn't have emunah. Gam zay sarach ladaz. Gam zay sarach ladaz. Sheyesh neshamas ksheiris. There are certain neshamas ksheiris. Shenol debakashas. In other words, neshamas that came into the world in a good way. We're talking about in Tanya. Neshamas shenol debakashas. They're ksheiris and nol debakashas. Come from nice parents. V'gam lo kilkulu ma'aseyim. And there are people like that, that lo kilkulam ha'aseim, it seems that their lives just go in a straight way. Not that there's anybody that's in Udmaz Yasad for Layachta, there's no such thing as a person that hasn't done anything wrong, but these are people that are not being schlepped in different directions. And lo kilkulam ha'aseim, she'ein boim aleim klal machshavas keilu. There are certain people like this. There aren't so many like that. But there are people like this that they don't have. There are these certain neshamas ksheiros. In our generation, there are very, very few like this. That they don't have. They're not troubled by thoughts of skepticism and sveikas. They don't go like that. And even if you speak in front of these people in the here, talking or lectures that are filled with all kinds of questions and doubts and apikarsis and who knows what. But these people, doesn't bother them. Le'ichbis lahem klal, doesn't bother them at all. Venim mebalbal daitim klal. It doesn't mix them up at all. It's not mebalbal, doesn't bother them at all. I mentioned to you, I think two weeks ago, because I was Davkit, lo leinu at somebody shiva, Cedarhurst, that a woman that we know, that she was sitting shiva. Her father was a Polish Jew that was in concentration camp for 5 years, and she said at some point when she was growing up, I guess like many of the children of the survivors, at some point, you ask your parents, what kept you going, and how did you deal with all of that. And what about the questions, and so on and so forth. So I told this to you, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. So she asked her father, and she was, how does he explain, what he went through, and the Hitler Yimach Shemayim, and the Nazis Yimach Shemayim. So his answer was the Eibush der Shuldig? Is the Bernstein's fault that there are Rishayim in the world? It's one sentence. It's the Bereshit's fault that they're Rishayim. But it wasn't like saying it. He meant it. Didn't bother him. I mean, it's the Bereshit's fault they're Rishayim. People have free choice. To other people that they wrote three volumes explaining why they can't believe in God, and they weren't in the Holocaust, but they can't believe in God because of what happened to the Jews in the Holocaust. And you see, it was 5 years from the first transport to liberation. No Hanukkah vacation, you understand? From beginning till end of the war, this year. And he said, "Say with their shoulder, the Bnei Shalom's fault, they're a shame, he made the world. People have free choice, they're a shame." It's not times against the Bnei Shalom. And if you would say to him, haven't you read some of the literature that's been written since the Holocaust about, looking back you from outer space? Not that he's not intelligent. Emuna is chazak ma'od. U'inyin chazak ma'od. Not a simple person. These are not simple people. I grew up with people like this. I've spoken to, I don't like to use, there's a word that they use nowadays very easily, to be obsessed with something, and I don't like the way it's being used. Because now they say if somebody likes something, he's obsessed. But I really was obsessed growing up with talking to these people. Not only my own parents, but talking to anybody I could about about Emunah and Muhammad and so on, because it was making me crazy. When I was growing up, it made me crazy, the whole thing. And you talk to these people, very, very, very intelligent people, very, very learned people. Similar answers like that. Are there people that lost their faith? Of course there are people that lost their faith. But if you look into the Inyan, you'll find that those were people that, to a large extent, didn't have strong emunah to begin with. The people who were ma'aminim, who were big ma'aminim, chazak ma'oid, very, very, very strong people. The strongest people, the heroic people. Chazak ma'oid. There are people that are like this, also, that they don't have machshavas at all. It doesn't mix them up at all. Remember years ago there was in Queen's College, there was an anthropology teacher. I know the name. It was a Jewish person. Any kid that went to that anthropology class from yeshiva came out with emuna totally a mess. The whole point of this teacher in the class was to tear down the in Queen's College, had a lot of kids that were from, probably still have, was to tear down the emuna of the maminim in the class. That was his whole inyan, to show and to make fun and to explain with his chakiris and so on and so forth. That a person can go his whole life to yeshiva. Go your whole life to yeshiva, you're 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, you went your whole life to yeshiva, you learn thousands of hours of Gemara, or thousands of hours of Chumash and Navi, whatever it is, you daven thousands of tefillos, and you go there and there's some yokel that calls himself a professor, and he gets up there and he's saying some ridiculous drushes, whatever it is, and it's Ois Emunah. Finished. Finished. So, that's in our generation, a very big avoda. That's the ikar avoda now, is chazkas and emunah. That's the ikar avoda. Especially because so many people of our generation were not born in such a way. Neshamas ksheiros, shenolda bekashus. So they're more vulnerable to questions and to sveikas. And it's okay for a person to have a sofik, to mechazik himself. To mechazik himself in the moon. I was just talking to the children. It was such an interesting thing this past Friday night with the girls. I don't know if any of you saw in the Mishpacha magazine. I only look at the first part. There's another part that's called Family Something or Other, Family Circle. I don't know. Family First. So that's I never looked in it, but all kinds of interesting things. That's a wonderful magazine. All kinds of interesting things. So my Chani was very, very upset about something there. They have some fiction, some stories, some story they have, like it goes on, you know, like a sequel. Sounds like it's not particularly a harsh of the story. It's just, I know my wife said like, it's something, I don't know. That's not the main thing. What it is that in this story, apparently, that they're telling, that some person's writing, so they're talking about how somebody got messed up with the computer, looking at the computer, and that caused Sveikas and Emunah. And the person struggled with that, had to work it through, and was mechazik himself or herself, and was doing better. That was a couple weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, and then this past week, there were a few letters. I could only read one after I couldn't go on. There are a few letters of very, very angry parents. Looked like they were women. They signed it, their name. They didn't write the whole name. You know how they always do that, right? So they didn't write the whole name. But they were women. Very angry. The point was, first of all, I'm never getting a magazine again. I thought that this was a full magazine. I'm never getting a magazine again. What's the timer? What happened? What happened was is that how could you, in a firm publication, give the impression that there are Jews that have weaknesses in their amunah? This is what the letter was. I read one, and my daughter told me the other one. That how could you, and in doing so, to corrupt the minds of our beautiful daughters and so on and so forth. So they printed these letters. There are a few of them, and I guess them. Maybe they can answer back. I don't know if they will. They won't. I mean, it's like they answer such letters. But it should be addressed. The Indian should be addressed. I hope somebody will. I'm certainly not going to write. But it should be addressed. And so my daughter, Chani, so, Baruch Hashem, she was very, very disturbed by that. She said that we always spoke about in the house that it's okay to have questions and to ask. And to ask if you have questions. And that Hashem Yisbarach is not upset with you. If you're a Mavaki Shemuna, then a Mavaki Shemuna wants not to ask with anger or chutzpah, but to be a Mavaki Shemuna. I always taught him that to ask and to be a Mavakish. And you talk about these in Yonim and not to worry. There's nothing wrong with thinking, having thoughts like that. Everybody has thoughts like that. So I was very happy that one or two of the other girls apparently were talking about this, and they went and they have a very, very chashuva teacher, a wonderful woman that gives them a lot of inspiration, this woman. And and they spoke about it in a class with the teacher, and she's very clear-headed, and she was also very upset about, you know, this, the way that Emunah was being presented. And and I told my daughter at the table, I said, you know, this was this past Friday night. I said, everything's in the parasha. So you see in the parasha, what happened in the parasha? It says in the pasuk that Chisaymu Manoichel B'Shana Hashvi'is. You're going to say, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? It's Shemitah. What are we going to eat? Hain Nizara. We're going to... Hain line is... We're not going to plant. So, what are we going to eat? So then the Baruch Shem gives a promise, right? That, don't worry, I'll take care of you for 3 years. There'll be more and so on. So, a few years ago we spoke about this. Rabbi Eger, Susing, when he writes in the first Torah in Parshas Bahar. So Blabla writes over there, why did the Torah have to say Chisaymu that you're going to ask Manoichel? Why did the Torah have to say something? The Torah could have just said Tzivisi es Berchasi, I'm giving a special bracha, everything's be okay, Kinloch, don't worry. And then don't worry, just I'm giving a special bracha. This way no one has to worry. So there's an unbelievable piece there from the Blabla Eger. First piece in Torah Samus on the Har. It's long. He says, the side of what he says is that the Baruch Shalom wants us to know that he loves Jews who are Mevakesh Emunah. And he's telling us, don't make believe that it's not bothering you, and don't keep it inside. Because he says that, no, Rabbi Leibler says, no one actually is asking that question. Who's Hashem talking to? He says, V'chisayimru. You're going to ask. Manoichel b'shana hashviyis. The TV says b'chos. So the label says, no one's actually asking these things. Just like all these kids. Just like that lady's perfect daughter, the one who wrote the letter, perfect daughter. Guaranteed. Those kids in that house, they should all be well, must have plenty of questions. If they got a mother like that, they must have lots of questions. I'm sure she's a lovely lady, by the way. I just mean, they have such a black and white, you know. The kids have no questions in yeshiva because they're not asking them. They're thinking them. So they have questions. People have questions. And our generation, people have questions. So the label says, when it says in the Torah, V'chisayimu manoichel b'shana hashviyis, it's not that people are going around talking, so what are we going to do, what are we going to do? No one says anything. They just sit quietly. But inside, the label says, there's something inside, he says, that hasn't yet come to that point of having that emunah that Rabbi Nachman is talking about, chazak ma'ayv, They're not in that place yet where it's very, very strong. And they say, "Heinlein is over." We're not planting. These are good Jews. They're not planting. They're going to keep Shemitah, 100%. Heinlein is over. They're keeping it, 100%. But inside of themselves, there's this thing that's v'chisayimno. There's another place you have that in the Torah. Where? In Parashas Ekev. Also, you see there, it says, v'chisayimno. The Torah says the same thing. Then how are we going to fight against all these goyim? Rabim heim imenu. There are too many goyim. What are we going to do? We can't possibly fight against them. Again, v'chisayimno. Rabbi Leibler says the same thing. The Rabbi Abzushi has done that too. Why do you have to say a question? Why put it into a person's head? Questions, fakers. V'chisayimno. Eich nuchal. Lahirisham. That's the question. Eich nuchal lahirisham. How can we possibly beat these guys? What are these Knanim? What are we going to do with these guys? So Hashem Yisbach says, Leisir mehem. He says, Chever, I'm going to take care of you. Leisir mehem. Don't be afraid. Yischizik. So Leibel explains that these are Jews that the Baruch Shalom loves. They believe in him. And they believe in the Torah. And that's why they're not going to plant on Shemitah. And that's why they're not deserting the army. They're staying with the Jews to fight. They're going to war. Even though it looks bad, the odds. But they're going to war. But they're not yet 100% there in the Emunah. There's epis something that's not 100% in the Emunah. But they're Mavakshe Emunah. Like it says in the Pasuk. That you'll be Meshaita, the Navi says in the streets of Yerushalayim, to go and to find the person, Ish Mavakesh Emunah. Before Mashiach comes, the Navi says, you're going to drive around the streets of Yerushalayim to try to find a Jew who's Mavakesh Emunah. It doesn't say a Jew who's a Mammon. Who's Mavakesh Emunah. And the Labeler takes this person, the Mavakesh Emunah, and lifts him up to a very high place and says that Baruch Shalom has such Eden at the end of time that they might not be these kind of Neshamas Ksheiros. It could be that they came into the world with Levushim, difficult Levushim, as we're learning in Tanya. But they want Emuna, and they need some encouragement, and they need some Ischaskas. The Mevakshe Emuna. And that is what the Torah says. B'chisaymru b'levavcha, it says if you're going to say in your heart, no one actually is talking about their doubts and their fears, but people have them. And Hashem knows. And Hashem is telling us, you don't have to be afraid that you have those thoughts and feelings. That's okay. It's okay. And he gives his chaskas. You're mevakesh emunah. You're working on it. You're trying. You're mevakesh emunah. This is the, you see the Reb label, this is the ikra avayda of ikvus of the Mashiach. It's the mevakshe emunah. What this woman was upset about, she wrote a letter, and again, I'm sure she's a very, very wonderful person. Not angry at the person, just upset about it. That this is what's become. That how could you even put these horrible thoughts of doubts into my daughter's mind? Because you wrote a fiction story about how somebody was having doubts, and now my daughter's going to have doubts because the person in your fiction story is having doubts, and now my daughter has doubts. That's why your daughter has doubts, because she read a story. Our whole generation is struggling to have a Emunah. Adrabba, the avoid is to talk about things, and to be mechazik Emunah, and to try to understand who we are and where we're coming from, and to teach and to grow. That's the avoid. That's the time that we're living in. But the ikar avoid is to be mevakshe Emunah. So the person learns this from Ben Nachman. That the person that emunah is in chazak ma'ayid, the chayiv chazak ma'ayid, that the person's life becomes a very strong life. And we look at ourselves and we feel, I wish I was on that madrega. I don't feel like I'm on that madrega. We shouldn't chalil have a chalishus of das. We're mevakshe emunah. We want to be. And we have a thing, v'chisayimu, Hashem gives a bracha, v'tzivi says b'chasi. I'm going to help you out. If you're honest with yourselves, and you mevakesh emunah, and you know you're not there yet, and you want to strengthen yourself. So Hashem says, "Betzivisis b'chosin." And Hashem says, "Lo yisir mehem. Don't be afraid of them. It's going to be okay. I'm going to help you out." And that's what one person has to do for another person these days, to give chizik. One person for another person to give chizik. But this is the time that we're living in. We have very few neshamas that are like this, that like that person that made the shiva call. The person that's, what's been good? Why is God's fault that there is shine in the world? There are very few people like that now. These people, he says, it's a little bit uncomfortable to explain this, but it means Rabbi Nachum says, it's like you're talking about that taiva, the union of taiva, men and women, that taiva, and you're discussing the taiva in front of a person who doesn't have any eva, who doesn't have any possibility of being in a relationship. I'm trying to say it in a nice way. But the person who can't have any relationship with anybody, he's sick, he's not well. So that person doesn't have a taiva at all, it doesn't bother him at all. Because everybody's saying, what am I going to do? Oh, you have such taiva. For that person, there's nothing. It doesn't bother him at all. You understand? Somebody who's an alcoholic and you hate the taste of liquor. so then you don't understand at all what they're talking about. So people that they try to cut down on the amount of beer that they drink. To me, well, excuse me, beer tastes like what's in the bathroom. Smells like the bathroom. Beer smells like the bathroom. Doesn't it? But that person who has that taiva. Of course, it's a big taiva. For the one who doesn't have that taiva at all, he looks at like, what's the matter with you? So there are certain people that when you're talking about Sveikis in the morning, maybe that lady wrote the letter to the magazine. That for her, like someone's talking about Sveikis, it's like, beer? Like, what is that? She can't understand. How could anybody have Sveikis in the morning? If she's such a person, then she's very fortunate. But certainly, there's no vicious in talking about people that have Sveikis in the moon, to be honest and open about things that we have going on. But for this person, he says, okay, this person's not confused at all by it. When people are talking about men and women things, this person doesn't bother them at all. There's not a shaykhis that is taiva. So too, you have a certain yidin that they came to the world in such a way. You could talk about all kinds of questions in religion. You have one person and you say, someone asks him in high school, can God make a rock that he can't lift? And then that's it, he can't put on film the next day. Oh, God, can God make it? Oh, he can't. Another person, like, a silly question was, can God make a lot of rocks that he can't lift? But there are people that, and they could both be the same level of intelligence. Not talking about one smart, one's not smart. The same kind of people. One for one person, it doesn't mean anything. It's silly. For another person, he goes to sleep and he's thinking about, what does that mean? Or something like, who made God? So these questions. Who made God? So, for one person, what does that mean? It's not a question. What does that mean? Who made God? I'm not thinking about these. For the other person, you can't go to sleep. It ruins his whole shavuos. He doesn't know what to do. He can't have a piece of cheesecake. He's so upset. He can't eat. There's no time for cheese. Because why? Because somebody asked him, who made God? What was before God? Somebody said, what was before God? You don't remember what was yesterday. What do you ask him? What was before? What was before God? How could God make himself? Like little children has these big kashas. Doesn't bother. One person, it bothers. And even though he might say, it's nothing, it's not. But inside of him, he's wondering, how did God made himself? What does it mean he was always there? Nothing could always be there. It had to start sometime. I remember I went first to kindergarten. And then I wasn't always in school. You have to start somewhere. So it means, how does it work like that? But these people... Then the other person of Enichnus was named Klal, and Enich accused of Bulamanav. Klal doesn't care. That means nothing. Them is Hakushis v'Hakirish al Hamayin Am Hem Shtusim Gedoyim v'Hem Hakushis Klal. The truth is that these kashes that the Hamayin Am, that the Oilam is asking, he says they're shtusim. It's ridiculous. Shtusim gedolim. Then kush is klal, and not kashes at all. You know, at the end of his life, he was talking a lot to Maskilim, these Jews, enlightened Jews, who lost their emuna and who were not keeping mitzvahs anymore because they had these velt kashes in philosophy. And Rabbi Nachman, at the end of his life, was spending time with these even talking to them and showing them that kash is not a kash. And many times, we have from the tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman, other tzaddikim, that Rabbi Nachman, they would ask one of these big questions, like a velt kash, you know, the kash of his life in religion. And Rabbi Nachman would just start laughing. And then the kasha went away by that person. But I would just start laughing. Like the maestro that he went, this big maskil, he went with a long beard and tell you, he was going around all of Europe. He was a genius. He was going around all of Europe with kashas to go to shashivas and rabbanim and people. And when he came to the baditcha, I told him, he came to the ladies where they told him, the baditcha is a tough, he's a tough, it's going to be a hard nut to crack, the baditcha. So he wanted to take on the Bedichu. He was gonna confuse Rav Levi Yitzchak from Bedichu. So he looked, you know, and he knew how to talk and learning and everything. And he looked nice, and he knew how to talk and learning. And he came there and he was saying over something and learning, and they thought it was Chashav and Rav, and they let him into the room of the Kedusha's lady. And the Bedichu everything was running with him. He was running back and forth across the room. Like crazy. He was running back and forth across the room. And then he ran over. He didn't say a word to this person. They didn't say a word. And this person was watching the Bedichu like this. And then the Bedichu ran over to him and grabbed him. And the Bedichu looked at him and he started shaking. He says, yeah, but what if it's Take? What if it is true? What if it is true? And this Yid wrote about this. He said that he began to shake and he started to cry and he collapsed on the floor, a pachad. And he was crying here for a long time and he asked the Bedichu to show him how to do tshuva. And it says, Nasa Tzadik Gadol Ma'id, became a big Tzadik this year. So we're going to try that, right? We'll try it on each other. we'll break up into pairs. Now each one will give the other one a shake and say, why and what if it's taken? No, there's one of all your shake is a shtusim. You know. But the Bedich was, and one is an Ingen Chazak Ma'id. Chazak Ma'ayim. And even that Jew, that Jew that was going around like that, why was he so crazy to go confuse people? He was Mustam Mavakish Emunah himself. And the one that was most upset was himself. And he never saw such pure, absolute Emunah in his life till he met the Bedichah. And he was no match for the Bedichah. And when he looked at the Bedichah, the Bedichah grabbed him and said, and what if it's true? And looked him in the eyes. That was the end. So you have a good kasha. Very, very good kasha. I'm not even going to talk to you about the kasha, but a good kasha. Kasha kufshin yud aleph, and Nachum says, is Shema Hashem kaili ekra. Right? Letters, kufshin yud aleph. Shema Hashem yud kevav ke kaili ekra. Person's calling out to the Baruch Shalom. He says that people go with kashas. He says really it's shtusim and havala. Then him kushes klav. Yesh ben yodim shalchim meiz a kushes man rav. He says you see there are people that go with a kasha for a long time. Them is a kasha shlohu teretz. He says and the very kasha that they're asking the question is itself the teretz. They're going around with a kasha, and the kasha is the teretz. Rak machin she'en le das. Because the person is not a baldas. That doesn't mean he's not smart. He's not putting two and two together. There's something missing. So because of that, nidmeloy lekushya. He thinks of this as a big kasha. And he himself, the kasha is the teretz. Kamei l'mashal is, for instance, sheshoylen es atinok, shenishba zchuches shalach aloin. There's a kid, there's a little child that's standing over there, and the window's broken. The window broke. And they took the piece of glass that's next to the window that's broken. They ask, and they're taking it and they're going to put it over here, with the broken window instead of the broken window. You take this and move it over there. And they put it over here. So he asked him, "Can Yifach and Sipa derech Hachalal Azesh as Chus Hashem?" See, here's a big kasha. What's the kasha? Kasha is now that you fix this window because you moved over this glass. So that means no bird can come over here. But then over here, there's going to be a bird. Over here, there's going to be a bird coming in. It's a big kasha. And Ken Yifach Hatsiba Derech HaChalav HaZesh is Chus HaShayni. So kasha is, so you ask the child, now, Yankel, it's going to be over here. They're moving this glass, they put over there, so it's going to be, the bird's going to come over there instead of over here. When you ask the child this, the teretz is, of course, together with the kasha. The teretz is that you can't just put one thing of glass, and if you move this over, you have to replace the other one too. Because there's a problem of an empty space and a bird flying into an empty space. As an animal like kushi gedola, when you ask him this kasha, even though the kasha has already, the teretz is already in it. But to him, it's a big kasha. You're right. Then you're there, Malahashiv Klau, Kinidmal on the Kushik Dol. It seems to me like a very big kasha. Of course, the answer is you can't take a piece of glass from someplace else and put this over here and solve the issue of birds flying into the room. Because the problem is birds flying in. So you have to fix it with two pieces of glass. But for the kid, it's a big kasha. Even though you're already asking him in the kasha, so what's going to be with the bird now coming into the second place? But he doesn't have the das to answer to the no, there's not a kasha. Rabbis are called shtus. The other rabbi, kushya sheyifach hatzipu, who teretz on kushya rishach gesadu. The kasha about the bird flying in, that's the teretz. That you have to make sure the bird doesn't fly in. Shal shtus, it's a kushya shtus. Ki bemis ein loichin bishvil zeh, schuchas hasheni listein. Because of course you're not going to take the last next to it to move it over and to close this hole, because then you just made another hole. You're just playing a game with the kid. Because then the bird's going to fly through the new opening. But he's a little child, and because of his chisaron, because of the chisaron in his thinking, he doesn't know that when the adult's playing with him a little bit, just fooling around a little bit, that he already has the teretz. In the kasha, he told the kid the teretz. At least that we had when we were in high school, that we had to take the Hebrew regions. Do you have to do that still? I don't know if it was Hebrew regions.
Yeah,
so that, yeah, somehow we were able to finagle that you could be yotze the requirement of the state, you know, whatever, I don't know. So, There was this cute little Rebbe that was the one that was proctoring it. He didn't speak much English, but he was a very, very special person. He was a Chassid Shehid who fought in the Irgun in 1948. He was strong like an ox, about this big, and he was just an interesting person. We all loved him. I didn't have him as a Rebbe, but he was very funny. We all loved him. And so he was giving the Hebrew, he was proctoring the Hebrew regions. So like 70 guys in this room, and this Rebbe, he's a big Talmud Chacham, and this Rebbe, he's not alive anymore. And he was the practicing reasons. So he was reading the question, so he gave us the reasons, and then, so the boy says, "Rebbe, I don't understand, what's the question in number 22? I don't understand the question. I don't know what that means. What's the question? I don't understand." So he would read the question, and he would say, and he talked in Hebrew. He would say, "Ha'im zeh," because there's multiple choice. "Im zeh aleph, beis, gimel, or dalet." Beis. He did the whole thing like that. Other guys were asking him other questions, and he would. Then he, I remember, it's like yesterday. I remember, so there was a question I had about in Hebrew about keys, right? Mafteches, or keys. So the kid says, "I don't know what that means, mafteches." And he says, "He says atalo yedeya, mazal mafteches." Those are the questions on our Hebrew reading. The kasha is kind of, in the kasha, there's already a teretz in this din. The teretz is already in the kasha. But I can imagine a person such a shite, he says, would say, what's he shaking his keys like that? There's always one guy like that. Well, why is he raising his voice by bass? I don't know. Why did the Rebbe raise his voice all of a sudden? You feel okay, Rebbe? Were you starting to sing the bass with it? So shtus, in the kasha, there's already this teretz is in the kasha. Of course you don't take the glass from over here, because then it's going to have the same problem. The bird's going to fly through the next opening. That's what he used to laugh. It's He says the same thing, mamish. People have in their hearts all kinds of kashis. Shtus, he says. Shbemis, Zoysa Kash is really, if you be a Baldas, in the Kasha itself, the Kasha itself is the Teretz. Achmach mischesson have an osai, because you're not thinking enough. And the person doesn't understand. That's why he says it doesn't pay to get to Chakivis Bechlal. Because he says, it's all shtusim havalim. And he used to like to sometimes make fun of certain Chakivis. He says, even Lakut Amaran would make fun of certain Chakivis. And he would ask, like, it's a big, big, big Kasha. And everybody was, and he was show how the whole thing was a shtus. Ach machmas chesun havanal say nidmalay shukushi gedolav avein heitev. Okay, and therefore tzarech ha'odam lesalik mi daitoy. Therefore, the ik is that a person should just push these things away. It's all shtusim. V'levrach mikushis, and to run away from all these kushis and chakirus are shtusim v'babulim, and not to be oisig any of these things. Rak l'chazik is atzmai. The Amuna Levad. To mechazik oneself in Amuna, just in Amuna. That's what he says, Lama Gimel. Shuv Pam Achas, Hayim Edab Amuna. Another time, Rabbi Nachman was talking about Amuna. On the Amar, and he said, Eitz La'olam Amuna Hu Davar Katan. That's what I was saying before. In the Velt, they say that believing, it's a small thing. It's for simple people. Hu Davar Katan. Eitz Li, Amuna Hu Davar Gadol Ma'ay. But by me, he says, Amuna is a very big thing. It's a very big thing, Amuna. And the Iker of Amunah is without any chachmas, any chakirus at all. Right, but Pshita's Gomer, he says, simple. K'may shahanoshim, like the women, v'hahamayin am haksherim, ma'aminim, the simple, like the women, and the elecha, simple Jews, haksherim, ma'aminim. He says that, and he says, that's it, it's a big thing, dova godl ma'ayid. Amunah chashuv kitztaka. Emuna is like tzedakah. Where do you see that? Kamesha Kosef. Vehemin b'Hashem, it says by Avraham Avinu. Vehemin b'Hashem, that Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem. V'yachsheveha loy tzedakah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered it, v'yachsheveha, as a righteous thing. But Rav Nachman says, v'yachsheveha loy tzedakah, v'yadezeh zoich l'banim. Rav Nachman has, also in the Sefer Midas, Emuna is b'gematria banim. Emuna is in the gematria banim, is equals, the word Emuna equals banim, sons. And he says that through Emuna, a person is able, also with tzedakah, that a person is able to give birth, to bring more shefa, more brach into the world. That's what it means. Through Emuna, Emuna's gemat yibon, means that through Emuna, a person is able to bring shefa into the world, because chakiras and all kinds of things like that hold back the shefa and are blocking the shefa. When a person's mind and his heart work together in a very simple and clear way, then the Shefa comes down from Shemayim to down below in this world, and their children and so on. And that's the Indian of Ach Shevel, it's Taka, Emunah is Chashuv Kitztaka. That, what's the comparison? What is it on a deeper level? What does that mean that Emunah is like Tzedakah? It means that a person gives himself over. He lets go. It's the most natural thing in the world for a person to hold on to his money. It's mine. And same thing when it comes to a certain way of thinking, that it's natural for a person to hold on to his sichlius of how he understands something. Tzedakah means that a person lets go of it. And Emunah is like stuck. And when a person lets go, then he opens himself up to having the hashpos of children and all kinds of brachas. We should be zeichem as a shalom.